Once again, I'm thankful to be with you here in the house of the Lord and ask an interest in your prayers. And we trust and we know that we have had a very blessed week. And we're here to count our blessings. We're here to acknowledge our God in all of our lives and to learn more about Him through His Word. And I'm just very thankful. And I have my thoughts placed upon my heart, and I have some thoughts of concern, as do many of us. And as we're maybe talking in our Sunday school this morning, and if you seem to watch the news, that you can't seem to get away from it in many ways, the direction that maybe our country is taking, or across the world, our world economy, and so on and so forth, where there's been peril, and there's continuing to be, and many people are wondering how to fix things, how to bring things back, if you will, to a prosperity. And we hear of gross wickedness in high places as far as the economics are concerned, and people shaking their head and wondering how can this be? How can it come to pass? How can people get away with this, or how they could get away with that? There are many people that are very distraught because they're losing fortunes in a matter of minutes. And many people are distraught because the design of their life, or maybe their interest that, you know, that they've lost all these things. And it really speaks to where was their hope at in the first place, I know. And you know. And so many, many things that we see that is coming down the pike, and we can be distraught over. But we come to the house of the Lord. And we come to the house of the Lord. Each of you come with a different idea in mind. Maybe different thought, different prayer, for different something or rather in your heart. And we come here to learn. And did you ever seriously think about what Jesus said when He said, when two or three are gathered in My name, there I'll be in their midst? And I take that seriously. And I believe you do too. That He is in our midst. And when He told His disciples, He said that I would bring back all things to your remembrance that I have taught you. That there are thoughts given. There is direction given. And people walking away with substance. And that's what it should be about. We should walk away with substance from the house of the Lord. As we would talk one with another with our soul's welfare. Can the Lord speak through a brother or sister? You bet. And I believe that we should come expecting that we're going to receive something of the Lord. Of course, I always believe that I'm going to receive something of the Lord. And sometimes it's a pleasing thing. Sometimes, you know, when the Lord gives me, it can be a correction, and sometimes it's not pleasing, you know, at the time. But realize the wisdom in it later. But we should come with the feeling of, yes, we're going to receive something of the Lord. And because it is His power and His Spirit that is to direct our meetings. That is what we fully believe in. And as we were talking this morning about walking spiritually, and how is that? What is it like to walk spiritually? Well, it's the moving of the Holy Spirit. As Jesus described in the book of John, 3rd chapter, talking of Nicodemus, you know, talking as the wind. You may feel its effects, not know just which way it's coming from, but you feel it. You're moved by it. You may walk outside, especially now, and feel the wind, and it's pretty cold. Or a few months from now, you may walk outside, and it's pretty hot. So you feel its effects. And so we expect to feel, and this type of that spiritual moving is what leaves you with knowledge, the impression of thought, and of wisdom, of love, of encouragement, and of strength, and of comfort, all those things. And they are spiritual, and they're given to us. I believe we're to expect those things. And as you have come here this day, you know, that you've come here presenting yourselves, if you will, to the Lord. You know, where they used to come to the temple and they present themselves and they present their sacrifice and so on, and to basically present their first fruits unto the Lord. And that's what we're doing today. We're coming here for worship. We're coming here expecting something of the Lord. You know, and then they've seen a physical, the fire of the tabernacle and the smoke and so on. And today you come presenting your first fruits unto the Lord. And that's why we would take and we would wear things to the house of the Lord that we wouldn't normally wear during the week. You know, if you see me during the week, you're going to see a Hill Machinery logo over here, and my name on that side here. And if this pants may be slightly ripped, the shirt may be torn or something like that, depending, you know, until they give us a new set of them. And many of the rest of us may be in our work clothes and so on and so forth. And we come to the house of the Lord and we're presenting our first fruits. And that's why, you know, people wonder, why would we not wear our best? You know, we would wear our best to the house of the Lord. And that's for that very reason. And you come representative of the bride of Christ as well. And it talks about in the scriptures who she's adorned herself and made herself ready. And we know that is figurative of righteousness and good works. And it says we adorn ourselves as those professing righteousness. It's supposed to be the clothing of humility, we know. Clothed upon of humility. And then we are attempting to do the right things in our life that is pleasing to the Lord. Now we're trying to engage in the fruits of worship. But I was thinking as I was pondering a message this morning, and like I said, there were many things that were coming to mind, and I've had many things that are kind of witnessed in my spirit this week with direction even of this country. And I believe that we're going to receive a lot of direction this coming year to His people. And we need to be prepared for it. Because we're going to see times come that we never thought before. And we better be preparing ourselves for them as well. And one thing I would like to mention here before I get into a little more of a message, and that about a tribulation. Yes, it is coming. And if everybody and people think that it is not, then we're fooling ourselves. Jesus told us to look at the time in which we live. And I believe right now we're going to be headed into, and we have been for many people, will witness of this, of an economic famine, which definitely leads to a real famine in the land. They're talking about those things that are keeping people from earning money, that are going to take and be used to feed their families and so on. So many of these things, just take care of themselves. We're in an economic famine, and we have no idea just how widespread this thing is going to be coming. And I do believe that, and I ask an interest in your prayers as your pastor and as ministry here, and for your other ministry. Not only this local, but in our church, our whole church, where to lift them up in prayer, to be able to be spiritually discerning, okay, to feed the people, to prepare the people. We're going to need to have divine instruction. We're going to need to have the type of instruction to be able to temporarily take care of ourselves. And I ask in the interest of your prayers that we'll be able to provide that as well. And it talks about in the book of Ezekiel, I believe it is, to set a watchman upon the wall, let him declare what he seeth. And that's just what it's about. So you need to pray for your shepherds, pray for your ministry, and we appreciate it, and we know that that's for a bi-week we can do what needs to be done. And we need to be able to instruct the people. We need to be able to warn the people. And so we need your prayers. We definitely need your prayers. In the book of Romans, if you'd like to turn with me, in the 12th chapter, I know we're going to be coming up upon this in our Sunday school here, probably in a few weeks. Romans, the 12th chapter. I'd like to read a couple of verses, the first two verses. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And he says, reasonable, because look at what all he has to offer. Look what he is all offering you. He's offering you a place in the mansions of his Father. He's offering you a crown reserved for you. Eternal life. It's reserved for you. And we need to call ahead and make that reservation, I keep saying. The Lord invites you to call ahead and make that reservation and live by faith unto endurance to inherit that crown. He says it's acceptable, this living sacrifice, as we were talking a little bit earlier in our Sunday school about trying to walk apart from sin and walking in the Spirit and so on. And that has to do with this, a living sacrifice. And it says that we have been crucified with Him and we shall be raised with Him in the likeness of His resurrection. But it's our reasonable service. We're talking about eternity. We have a short piece of time here. It talks about in the book of James that what is life but a vapor? Today is and tomorrow is, it's vanished. It's a vapor, it says. What shall be known of the life that we have lived when we are not here? Those that we have associated ourselves with, the impact that we have made, and especially the commitment that we made to Jesus Christ and how we have lived according to it in this life. But he says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Renewing our mind and to prove that which is good. Now, once we're the comments made about our daily life, our workplaces, the decisions that we make, and so on. And we were talking, all of us talking about technology, how it is coming at us. You know, information changing by the second. And we must be definitely in the period that Daniel talked about. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Well, boy, we've got to be there. Had been there, but since the beginning of the 1800s, when we find so many different things, new so-called things, people, inventions, and so on, technology. But to be able to prove what is that good and perfect, or acceptable and perfect will of God, that's what's important. And so, this recipe, not being conformed. And we see the turmoil today where I believe that there are so many that even within our recent election and things like that, many people compromised values for economics. I think we all seen that. And we're seeing it now. Many things coming to pass. Many people are compromising. We can't do that. And we need to be the salt of the earth. And we've got to be careful of those things. And so I was also thinking about a piece of scripture. You know, once again, I was talking about if you've looked at the news, if you've looked at the current events that are going on, and you shake your head at so many things that are coming to pass in our economic situation, and I believe it's witness to me that there is more yet coming, and God's people need to be prepared. God's people need to be prepared. And that is an individual thing where each of us need to look to ourselves, look to our families, and to be able to prepare. And we need to be prepared as a body of Christ, as a congregation. Yes, the church as a whole, but our congregation. We're going to be called upon to sacrifice of ourselves, maybe substance. People may need to. We're going to have to bond together more in many ways. I believe that we're on, if not the threshold, but going into a tribulation. There are so many things that are showing us times in which we live. And so, I would like to take a look over into Psalms in the 37th chapter. Psalms in the 37th chapter. But one thing to note, we may see the time in which we live. We may see that there may be economic calamity. And we may see people doing things that they shouldn't be doing. We may see people in this country taking the time, and then we also may be seeing wars and rumors of wars. And we know that those things have been with us. We may see a rise in them. People may talk about, and maybe you've seen the studies where there's even a rise in the amount of natural catastrophes, tsunamis, earthquakes in diverse places, and so on and so forth. I've seen the studies on those things. There's been a great rise in them. But you know, we're right on God's time clock. We're right on God's time clock, no matter what. And we will not hold back His eternal purposes because of who we are, what we're doing. And we will not hold it one way or another. It's whether we are going to step into His will and be within His plan. And that is the plan of salvation, and the plan of helping out in that witnessing throughout the world. And I know you hear us say often enough about that restoration and the restored gospel. It is going to go. It is going to go forth, and it will go according to His plan and His purpose. But we won't hold that back. We won't hold that work back. Because it's within His eternal word. And whenever His eternal word has been spoken, it has been fulfilled. But there are some things yet to come. And mainly, We need to prepare ourselves, prepare our families and our homes. And we need to be diligent. We need to be on task about who we are and what we stand for. You see, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And we got to be careful that we're not, you know, we need to go into the future prepared as much as we can. Physically and spiritually, especially. I believe with all my heart, if we take care of the spiritual with our Lord God Almighty, that He will see us in the physical. He will take care of us in the physical. But one thing about where we may be and where, you know, like I said, many people have lost maybe a lot of temporal money, which is only cyber anyway. But a lot of people distraught over that. I'm sure even Christians. Psalm 37, let's read about it a little bit. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they soon be cut down like the grass, and wither is the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. And we need to trust in the Lord that He'll take care of that. And you know, faith is one of those things is where we don't know how that may be to come to pass, but need to trust that it's going to happen. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee desires of thy heart. Now, we got to be careful about that, that our desires, if they are in the Lord, yes. If we're walking apart with the Lord, we're certainly not going to get the desires of a carnal mind. We were beginning to talk about that in the book of Romans this morning in our Sunday school, weren't we? About man's inherent or eternal war. You be careful. According to, there are things that people may ask that they may consume it upon their lusts or their wants or so on. And not according to, there are a difference between wants and needs. Commit thy way, verse 5, unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. You know, and you, once again, you may watch the evening news and you hear where, you know, the honest in heart may be paying in their taxes, so to speak. And then it's going out to so-called help bring back our financial institutions. And then you hear people that are making bonuses of several million dollars. And many people wince at that. And you wonder. And many people's, like I said, investments toward their retirement. Where are they going? But the Lord wants you to rest in Him, that He will bring these things to pass. What we need, how we are taken care of. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. And fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. So don't fret about those things. There's always been evil people that have tried to bring wicked things to pass in whatever level or form. It's always been among us. It has always been there. Okay? It's always been here ever since Adam left the Garden of Eden with Eve. And I'm not going to blame Eve. Adam had to make his own choice. We could talk back and forth of that all day long. It doesn't matter. They both got kicked out. And they both had to sweat with the sweat of their brow in order to bring forth the living. And but cease from anger and forsake wrath. You see, whether you had all the money or all the substance in the world, but if you couldn't cease yourself from anger and You know, we find that in the past record, in many ways, that where when the people of the Lord were afflicted is when they turned back to Him. And when they found that their enemies were coming upon them, many times they'd cry unto the Lord, lest their heart was too hardened. And could it be that we're today being afflicted, that we may turn back to Him? Many will that see it. But fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. A person could covet the person that's made millions in bonuses and so on and so forth, couldn't they? But where is their eternal life based? And where is their hope? You see, evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Evildoers shall be cut off. And once again, you know, it doesn't take a great prospering in the so-called market or millions or so of whatever they may have to make an evildoer. Not at all. But the recipe for righteousness has always been through Jesus Christ. And He's always talked about patience. And He's always talked about humbleness and meekness. He's always talked about inheriting eternal life. And so we must watch to keep focus as we may see times and people even change. And governments maybe rise and fall. And we're going to see God's purposes roll on no matter what. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. And I'll tell you what, and when Jesus rides forth as king with his angels, that we're going to be suffering, if you will, and should be suffering as a Christian, it says. Well, will be your estate if you're suffering as a Christian, but will be with the so-called evildoers right up until the time of the end. Because remember who's getting taken first, and that shall be the tares. She'll gather first the tares. And then shall gather his saints. And so shall we ever be with the Lord, as we shall be on this earth for the millennial reign. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. And it says, out of Zion shall proceed the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. However that is. And that's in many forms and in many generations, through thousands of years, that's always been. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. Those that are against the Lord, walking in rebellion to him. And what does it take in order to be that type of person that's walking against the Lord? Well, basically it talks about living outside of his laws, living outside of his commandments, living outside and apart from the Spirit of the Lord that would draw us to the side of Jesus Christ and the Father. Walking in blindness and derision and confusion. And more you and I need to have the type of wisdom that comes from the Lord God Almighty. More and more we need that. It says, more you see the day approaching. But we need to be rejoicing in Jesus Christ. Be rejoicing in His salvation. Be rejoicing in His sustaining us. Rejoicing and blessing our homes and our families. He's taking care of us. He says, I'm right there willing to bless you. I'm right there willing to open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to contain it. I'm right there. It says, but the wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and the needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart and their bows shall be broken. They shall be taken care of in their own ways too. And I'm not just talking about an end time judgment. I'm not talking about that when they have to face the Lord, which they shall. But when there is confusion, derision, evil work, that it has a way of taking care of itself and that they can be destroyed through their own evil ways and evil works within this time of life. But then they are fooled again and we have to stand before the Lord and suffer eternal separation. A little that a righteous man is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. Their inheritance shall be forever. To inherit eternal life. Can you ever weigh that? Could you ever even understand what forever is about? We can't do that. We just can't do that. And that's why it is that important for you to live by faith unto endurance. To look to understand, and to live by His holy word. That's how important it is. Because of how, that's it was that important that Jesus, He'd come for the express purpose of dying for all sins. He was made sin for us. He was made that great and last sacrifice, the eternal appeasement for the demands of divine justice. Verse 19 says, they shall not be ashamed in the evil time, in the days of famine. They shall be satisfied. But I'm going to tell you what. It does not mean that we will not have to suffer some days of hunger. Or wonder when the next bill is going to be paid. It doesn't mean that. And we may have people, you know, we were talking on the way over here, that the time could come that we may need to some move in together. Did you ever think about that? Another good reason we need to learn to get along, isn't it? But I'm going to tell you what. You think that what you have there is your own. But once again, what if there was some sort of a terrorist act upon the internet, the cyber, all of that? Where would your money go? Can you prove it? No, you can't. It's all gone. It's all gone. Okay, now, let's take your deed to your house. You think you own your house? Stop paying taxes for a couple of years and see where it goes. Don't. We're just renters here. So we need to understand where our blessing comes from. We need to live by it and live for it. Okay? But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat lambs. They shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. Wow, doesn't that take and rather chime right in with the economic crisis that they're talking about on Wall Street and the government, doesn't it? The wicked borroweth and payeth not again. They're not talking about billions anymore. They're talking trillions. Over $14 trillion in debt, they say. You know that that it is said that if you personally start accounting, that you could not reach a billion by the time that you die. A billion. That's just a billion. How many is there in a trillion? And how many trillions is there? We can't conceive that. They invented that number when I was, I believe, in high school. We didn't never heard of that before. At least I didn't. I'm not saying it didn't exist. At least they didn't use it when it came into play with our government. And I'm not trying to hoot on the government. I'm just talking about people and how things come to pass. And I'm trying to talk about our attitude when it comes to even the news that we see. Fret not yourself because of these things. Because, you know, evil has always been present. But God's purposes will always move on, no matter what. And we are fitting into where we are supposed to be today in God's eternal plan. No matter what. No matter what choices. But it'll be within God's eternal plan, within His will to be accomplished. So, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. You know, how wisely did he put his words in the scriptures? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. You know, we're talking about... If we even take a look back into, I believe it's into 2 Peter, he's talking about virtue. And he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. I think it's 2 Peter 1. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. How about spiritual insight? Knowing to maybe stay away from certain things and to do things that are contained within God's Word. Okay? That we don't stumble and trip over things that we are maybe blind to. We could be blind to them. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The Lord's going to bless. The Lord's going to move upon him with the Spirit. And you know something? That we need to be susceptible to the Spirit. We need to be opened and moved by the Spirit of the Lord. And that meekness and humbleness, that's why Paul said, when I am weak, then I am strong. We need to be open to be moved by the Spirit. And then we will realize where it has moved in our life. The fruits of the Spirit. We will realize the evidence of it. The evidence of our faith is our good works and our design and our desires in this world. They will come apart. That's why he said, be not conformed to this world, but transformed from it, that by the renewing of your mind. And it says in verse 24, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. You know, and I believe that. I believe all of that. Because, you know, it, once again, it doesn't say that you're not going to fall or to suffer or to feel sorrow or hurt or maybe have pain. But it is how you come through that. It's how the Lord has comforted you. It's how the Lord has directed you. It's how the Lord has picked you back up and helped put you back on that straight and narrow path. That's where the Lord has helped done that for you. And here is a verse that I know was a favorite of a good friend of mine, matter of fact, yours too, and used to be my Sunday school teacher way back when, and farther, even year by year. I have been young, and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. For the Lord will take care of us. It doesn't mean that we won't be fed by the ravens, such as Elijah was, or being taken care of in that manner. We don't know that, but we need to trust in the Lord that He will take care of us. And you know, and that's just Brother Emery Pender. And he used to quote that verse, and he used to quote that it was from his great aunt, I believe it was. So this has went back in generations. People remembering a favorite verse of theirs. And he is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and to do good and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. You are one of His saints. So be that we submit to Him as a child doth to their father, being willing to submit to those things, whatever He may put upon us. And sometimes that is, He puts challenges on people. Yes, He does. He puts challenges in order to strengthen people. Now, tell me why it is that any one of you that may go to the weight room, why it is do you go there and pump weights? Why do you do that? Do you do that just to see how good you look in the mirror? Do you do that because of the music they're playing there? God forbid, because I've been to some of them, they don't play such good music once in a while. Is it that other people may see you pumping weights there? Now, I'm not saying some people don't do that. No, generally people go there to pump weights to do what? They call it strength training. They come out and they're all sore. People will be sore generally. And you think, well, boy, what kind of fun is that? It's cheaper for me not to pay the gym membership, sit home, and stay overweight. It costs more to eat healthy, and take a look at healthy food out there. It costs more than the food that makes you overweight. And also the gym membership. I can stay home and save that money and save the gas going back and forth to the gym. No, they do it for strength training. And also, it's supposed to maybe build some muscle, that you may be stronger. And hopefully you're doing it for a good reason. Maybe mental stability. Maybe to be able to do your job a little bit better. Maybe to be able to be a little healthier in your life, live a little bit longer. But you see, the Lord puts challenges upon His people too. And I'm telling you what, that the road along the way, a lot of it has an incline, and it has to have an incline. And the reason it has that incline is so that you are going along on that path, that straight and narrow path, and you are climbing in your life. You're climbing and you're maturing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're going on to virtue and to good works. The evidence of your faith. And it builds your faith as you go too. I said, if you want to increase your faith, increase your service. Build strength. Do we need strength? You betcha. So this physical also builds the weightlifting also gets your circulation going, and it also makes you feel better. It also helps, it says, with depression, and it can help with clarity of mind and stamina and outlook. Well, the challenges that the Lord puts on us do the same thing, and it helps us with spiritual wisdom and faith and comfort and direction. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not His saints, and they are preserved forever. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. Maybe even talking about the millennial reign here, huh? Shall inherit the land. And we won't go there today, but if you want to take a look to a comparison, Matthew 5, 1 through 12 talks about the Beatitudes that Jesus was telling us, some of the greatest wisdom. The words of the Master. How the simple things confound the wise. And the things that are simple, the meek of the earth, the humble, how they're pleasing to Him, how He blesses them, and how they shall inherit a place in the mansions of His Father, our Father also. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart, and none of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous, and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. And there was a comment made, there was a, that someone once said, and it said, I would rather face the canons of the wicked than the prayers of the righteous. Because the canons of the wicked are only for the temporal body. But the prayers of the righteous carry with it the weight of our eternal God. And His power is beyond our knowing. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Once again, you know, these things were written how many thousand years ago? And do we see that similitude today within our modern society? You betcha we do. We can key right into that by what we've been seeing. And I don't believe, you know, we may talk about, we may even get into a political discussion here. Now I'm telling you what, it doesn't know a party. Greed doesn't know a party. It doesn't know a political affiliation, especially today. It doesn't. Either righteous person is righteous or not. It doesn't know a party. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. And yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him. And I'm telling you what. And I testify to you, and the Scriptures testify to you, that is how we shall be sustained. That is how that we're going to be directed in times to come. And whatever calamity shall come to pass, that is how we're going to be directed. The salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. Temporally, spiritually, eternally. And protection and strength and comfort and direction and wisdom is of the Lord. We've seen example of it time and time and time again for thousands of years. The Lord is true. And those that upheld His ways were prospered. But when they didn't, like I said, I was reading, you know, during my lunch hours, and I'm in 2 Chronicles, and you see one king raised up, and he's doing just fine, and he took out the groves out of the land, he took out the altars, and so on, and the Lord blessed them, and looked after them. And there was a time when they went out to battle, and the Lord said, I will fight for you, because the host that was coming against them was beyond their knowing and their numbering, and the Lord said, I will fight for you. The next morning they went out to face those enemies that come before them, and they were all slain. They were all taken out before them. The Lord had already handled it. Not one of them were lost, and they went back. And they created a place for praise and thanksgiving and honor unto the Lord for that very thing that He did for them. Because their enemies were set in derision before them. And we need to have faith in the Lord. He will fight our battles for us. And just because we've gone from them writing on plates to skins to paper to computers today does not mean that He has changed. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we need to depend upon Him for all these things. And one other thing that I would like to read to you this morning, and that's out of Alma in the 3rd chapter. And I like, it's on page 320. I have to read verses 98 through 100. He says, "Now I say unto you, all you that are desirous to follow the voice of the good shepherd, to come ye out from the wicked, and be ye separate, and touch not their unclean things." You know, that's our challenge. Touch not the unclean things, because we know that we're out there making our way in the world, doing the best that we can, trying to keep our witness for Christ. Touch not their unclean things. "Behold, their names shall be blotted out, that the names of the wicked shall not be numbered among the names of the righteous, that the word of God may be fulfilled, which saith, the names of the wicked shall not be mingled with the names of my people. The names of the righteous shall be written in the book of life, and unto them will I grant inheritance at my right hand." And so we need to depend upon that. Our names are written in the Lamb's book of life. That our name shall be found there. Shall be taken care of in all times, here and eternally.